Welcome back to the Chayyarach and Nachir Milan program. This is Daniel Eisenberg, and we are Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Tes. And we have just seen the defeat of Avshalom, the assassination of Avshalom, and the word got to David. And in this Perek, David cries bitterly and mourns over the loss of Avshalom, and this causes the positive feelings of his men to sour, the men who stood by him for so long and ran away with him instead of just jumping ship and staying with Avshalom. And they put their lives on the line for him. And then they defeat the enemy. And then they see that he defeats the enemy and he's upset. And Yoav tells us to David, he says his attitude is a slap in the face to everybody who is loyal to him and says that nobody's going to stand by you if you don't change your attitude. And he obeys Yoav's advice. Then the nation discusses reinstating David as king. David sends a message to Shevet Yehuda to get involved. He appoints Amasa, who is the general of Avshalom. He appoints him into his army and uses him to garner support again to win back the nation. Shimi ben Gera, remember, who cursed David previously on his way out from Benjamin. So he comes to greet David with Siva, who's the Eved of Mephibosheth, and he's 1,000 men from Benjamin, and he begs for forgiveness for his actions, and Avishai threatens to kill Shimi. Again, the second time he's threatened, B'nai Tzruya are threatening to kill Shimi Begera, and David doesn't allow him to. David is potentially playing politics here and trying to, just to get things straight. But also potentially he, as we mentioned previously, 3 Prakim ago, Hesayan, he maybe took that as a punishment, divine punishment from Hashem, and he did not want to act upon it in his lifetime. We'll see at the beginning of Sefer Malachim Aleph, he actually instructs Shlomo to follow up and take care of Shimi. Mephibosheth then finally, he comes to greet David, and he's clearly in a state of mourning. He hasn't shaven. And David asks him why he didn't come earlier, and he explains, I wanted to. Siva tricked me and then told Lashon Hara about me, really Motzi Shemra, he lied about me. And David declares that Siva and Mephibosheth should split the property. For the property that was originally Mephibosheth's, that David revoked and gave to Siva when Siva spoke Lashon Hara, and now he's saying, okay, they can split it. And Mephibosheth says, Siva can keep all of it. I'm just happy that you're back, David. He's really, I don't care about the money. I just care about you. Anyway, Barzillai HaGiladi, who helped David in Machanayim, also comes to greet David, and David offers him a reward to stay by him in Yerushalayim. He politely declines and asks that it be fulfilled with his son instead. Then Shevet Yehuda and some of Yisrael bring David across, and the Anshei Yisrael argue that the Anshei Yehuda, that they're hogging David, keeping him for himself, and the Anshei Yehuda argue back, that's not true. And then this leads to a back and forth between the Anshei Yehuda and the rest of Klal Yisrael. So what was turning out to be a very nice day sours, and we'll see it escalate at the beginning of tomorrow's parak, and leads to a little bit of a civil war that has to be immediately nipped in the bud. So a couple of questions to ask. First of all, why is it that Hashem allowed this civil war to come about? I wouldn't call it a civil war, but this argument at the end between Yehuda and Yisrael. Like, what's going on? Why does that have to be part of this reception of David and ruin? It was a beautiful day. Like, what's the purpose of that? But also this sub theme, the sub storyline of Mephibosheth. We have to try to understand what's going on here, because obviously there were thousands of communications that David HaMelech had with many different people over many different years, and not all of them are recorded in Navi. So if there is a storyline that is recorded in Navi, there's a purpose for it. It's something to learn from it for sure, and usually it also contributes to the bigger picture storyline, something that really we can't miss. But like, what's going on with David and Mephibosheth, right? So him rewarding Mephibosheth or promising to take care of Mephibosheth back when we first met Mephibosheth, or the second time we mentioned him, that makes sense, because that's showing David's personality, his loyalty to Yonasan, and that's fine. But then this whole discussion of Siva, the slave of Mephibosheth, greeting David and lying about Mephibosheth, and then David following up over here and saying, okay, fine, so you guys will split it. What does that have to do with anything? Why is that important for the bigger picture? Now, the truth is that Chazal tells us that this is a very significant piece. The Gemara in the Masechet Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav, which talks about potential sins that David HaMelech may or may not have committed, says over here that it was a problem that he was makabel the lashon hara. He believed the lashon hara of Tziva, and he didn't look further into the situation and just, you know, and look at the details in front of him to verify if everything was true. Like as soon as Tziva told him that, so he took away Mephibosheth's property and gave it over to Tziva. And over here, when Mephibosheth is, you know, saying, "Hey, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just coming to greet you, and I was lied to, and I was taken advantage of." So David doesn't try, you know, try to verify it. I don't want to call it like a lazy decision, but okay, fine. You guys will split it. I mean, it shouldn't be split. You know, if Mephibosheth is correct, then Tziva should be severely punished, and if Tziva is correct, then Mephibosheth should be, you know, severely punished. He'll lose everything. You know, you have to look into it, and especially if the details are in front of you. You see that clearly Mephibosheth is in a state of mourning, and it makes sense. And why would he, you know, change? And so he was punished with this, and the punishment is, Chazal say, I think it's Rav in the Gemara on Shabbos, says that because of this, his the he said, "You're going to split the property." So because of this, the kingdom ends up being split, and this is in the time of his grandson, Rechavam, right? David HaMelech is succeeded by his son Shlomo, and Shlomo's son Rechavam takes over. And in the time of Rechavam, Yerovam ben Nevat, the infamous leader, split the nation between Yehuda and the rest of Yisrael. And then we had two kingdoms for a very long time, basically until Sancheriv exiled the Aseret HaShevatim, 10 of the tribes. Says the Gemara, this schism in the nation was because of the schism in the property in the Nahla that he split between Siva and Mephibosheth. And perhaps we could suggest based on that this little rift that we see at the end of our parak today, of the split between Yehuda and Yisrael, this little argument that leads into a little bit of an escalation next tomorrow's parak, but then is quickly de-escalated, Baruch Hashem, and only one person is harmed in the making of that story, maybe two. But perhaps that's a little bit of a sign of what's to come. That little small rift, that small schism between Yehuda and Yisrael for that one moment was symbolic for what would eventually take place, which would be a major schism, and this is in the times of David's grandson, when the nation would actually fully be split. There'd be two separate kingdoms, two separate kings, armies, and we're getting a little taste of that now because this is a direct response to Mephibosheth and to David's treatment of Mephibosheth. We see over here that tzaddikim were judged kechut ha'sa'ara, like a thread of a string of hair. That it's, you know, we see David HaMelech in tremendous poise and tremendous grace throughout his ordeals and seeing everything as Ratzon Hashem. And then in one moment where he's meeting everybody and following up with people, and in one moment he, you know, makes a poor judgment call, especially regarding the sin of Lashon Hara, which we know is such a grave sin. But it's you know, on Kehud HaSa'ara, he makes this mistake, and there are terrible repercussions down the line, and a little hint of that right away. So one thing to just appreciate is just the greatness of David HaMelech in general, that he's judged in such a way, and also the great danger of Lashon Hara, of accepting Lashon Hara without verifying the details and giving people the benefit of the doubt, especially when you know their character, and there's room and evidence to support their statements.